Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
This is CBS News and always on the hour. On the Civic Media by app.
Indeed.com.
I'm Stacy Lynn. Now post-tropical Cyclone Lee has millions of people from New England to Canada under storm watches and warnings. WGME-TV meteorologist Emily Santum describes a scene in Southport, Maine.
These wind gusts are going to be more consistent. It's becoming a lot windier out here. We're getting to the max part of the day. More so mid-afternoon, these waves are becoming even larger.
It is day two of a historic auto worker strike. Nearly 13,000 walked off the job yesterday after GM, Ford, and Stellantis failed to reach an agreement with the union. KPHO-TV's Elliot Polakoff spoke to business owners affected by this.
When inventory isn't produced for a long, substantial amount of time, it does impact availability.
And not just for cars, but for the parts in those cars. Jeff Inman runs Inman and Sons Auto and Truck Center in Phoenix. He says an already existing backlog from the pandemic could be worsened if the strike drags out.
Getting those body parts for newer cars will be very difficult because, you know, it's not like you're going to go find a door for your Chevy truck, a left front door. That's typically going to come from, you know, GM.
The prosecution moves to limit what the former president says about his election interference case.
Court papers show special counsel Jack Smith is asking the judge in the Donald Trump January 6th federal case here in Washington to put limits on what Trump can say about it. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
There is a limit to what even Donald Trump can do on the airwaves. And so far, the courts have let him go pretty far. But I think the prosecutors are saying he has crossed the line and he'll be even bolder if the judge does not set some limits.
On his social media site, Trump is attacking the prosecution move and continues his insulting description of Prosecutor Smith. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Are you going to roll up your sleeves for a COVID shot?
The Reuters Ipsos poll finds about half of Americans said they are interested in getting an updated COVID-19 vaccine. The results suggest that more people might be willing to get a booster shot now than they did a year ago. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, only around 1 in 6 Americans opted for an updated shot around this time last year. The poll comes as COVID cases are growing as we head into the fall months. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
We'll move over pumpkin spice everything. This year, the apple may reign supreme. According to a trend report by Modern Retail, pumpkin spice may seem to dominate the flavors and fragrance of fall, but some brands are seeing gains with apple alternatives. They say this may be due to what they're calling pumpkin fatigue. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new poll suggests impeaching Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz is an unpopular idea with voters. Mike Moan reports.
A Better Wisconsin Together, a left-leaning research group, is out with new survey results showing that Wisconsinites oppose impeaching Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz by a 24-point margin. The poll was released the same day Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss announced he's putting together a panel to look at grounds for removing the judge. A Better Wisconsin Together's Mike Brown says, based on the election and the survey, such a move goes against the will of voters.
Wisconsin voters value their votes, and they expect that their legislators will respect the results of those votes. The impeachment proceedings threatening to overturn the election are very definitely in opposition to what a very strong majority of Wisconsin voters feel.
The poll of 600 registered voters, conducted by a national firm, was essentially evenly split in connecting with Republicans and Democrats. Voss and other Republicans have floated a possible impeachment over opposition to comments Protasiewicz made on the campaign trail regarding redistricting. Brown notes that any misgivings about what the judge said prior to the election don't carry much weight.
The Judicial Commission, which oversees and enforces court ethics, has already dismissed several baseless complaints brought by state Republicans against Justice Protasiewicz, and they declared the matter closed.
Also from the poll, 46% of Wisconsin voters think any effort to remove Protasiewicz is driven by political motivations among Republicans based on the election results. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Everybody, welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and we are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Cripescast. Folks, today we have a very special guest. If you've seen him, Practical Jokers, you know him. He's doing a whole stand-up tour now. Joe Gatto, just in Milwaukee. Very funny guy, and just an honor to talk to him. Being someone who grew up kind of watching Impractical Jokers and always being impressed on the stuff they can pull off. We get into the weeds a little bit. We even incorporate some of your questions for him and a super fun interview. Joining me in this intro is the fearless executive producer of the Cripescast, Colleen Maraca. Colleen, we got some tour dates coming up and those, I know we got Vegas, obviously Kansas. What else is cooking?
We have shows in Reading, is PA, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Over there in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Yeah. We have Las Vegas on October 8th. Then we have a little leg of Kansas, Missouri, Indiana on October 12th, Wichita, Kansas, October 13th, Kansas City. Missouri on the 14th. We got Springfield, Missouri on the 16th. We've got 15th. We've got Evansville, Indiana. And then we actually just added an early show in Rochester, Minnesota on October 21st. So October's got a bunch of dates. Yeah.
A lot of dates in October. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So if you want to see the live stand-up show, just had a lot of fun in Chicago this past weekend, playing the Den. We did a few shows there. And then I got to go to the Packers-Bears game and watch the Packers win, watch Jordan Love's first touchdown pass of the regular season. It was awesome. And the Bears, Colleen, unfortunately, they still suck. Colleen is not a Bears fan.
I'm from, yeah, I don't really have any affiliations.
Cubs fan, though.
I just like being controversial. So when I was with all my Bears fans, like family this weekend, I was like, go Pack, go. And they're like they just were getting pissed at me. I just like to say stuff.
No,
to
you're
piss
just, you're
off.
One of those. You know, Miles is that way as well.
Yeah.
Miles being from Fargo, they didn't really have a football team. So he would always, and the Vikings were closest. So he would just be a contrarian. So you're one of those sort of saboteur, not really football fans, but just someone who gets in the weeds.
Yeah. I was born in Chicago, grew up in Minnesota, and then I live in Wisconsin for the past however many years. So it's like, and then
you're
my
confused.
Mom's, and then, yeah, exactly. My mom's a Browns fan because she's from Ohio. So it's like, there's no,
yeah,
the only thing, yeah, I don't really care as long as like there's a good tailgate. That's all I really care about.
Okay. In it for the drinking. My executive producer.
That and the Instagram picture. Where can I sit, center field? or where can I sit on the 50-yard line to look really cool? I will be there.
Yeah.
You got me.
Yeah. You are the worst sports fan. I love it.
I'm experiential. Okay. I like the experience. Okay.
I think we should just hop into it, get into my conversation with Joe. And quick reminder, folks, if you're looking for any merchandise, any show tickets, our Patreon, just go to cripescast.com. It is all linked up there for you. Okay, and without further ado, here is my conversation with Joe Gatto. How have you been?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Fresh out of Milwaukee, actually. I had the show this weekend. Yeah. It was great there.
How was it?
Oh, so great. I love that town, man. Always good crowds, good shopping down to the Third Ward, hanging out, got some good food. Oh. Yeah.
Nice. You did some shopping down there. Where'd you go?
I love it. One of my favorite stores is down there. I think it's Milford. Is that the name of it? I think it's called Milford.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
The men's shop. Yeah, right down there by the park. And when I walked out of the park, it was so weird. I walked out of the park and there was this like class that's sitting in the park around and they're all drawing. It was an art class. One guy sitting in the middle, like on the rotunda, and then everybody's just seated around, all the students. And one girl recognized me and goes, Joe. And I go, and I look, I go, hey, and she goes, can I get a picture? And the whole class was like, what? And she was like, it's Joe. And I was like, and I walked over, like, yeah. And you're in the middle of class, and the teacher goes, all right, let's just get a class picture. So I took a class picture with these art students that half of them didn't even know who I was. It was very funny.
Do you get that a lot?
Yeah, I do. I get, you know, it's funny because like I look familiar, but not exactly like they don't know exactly where they know me from.
Right. So you can't get that side, I think.
Yeah, you're the guy, aren't you? Who's this guy? This guy. And then you always get the one person that's like, I don't know you. I'm sorry. I'm like, don't be sorry. It's okay. You don't have to know me.
Yeah, you don't have to apologize for that. It's such a weird thing. I feel like sometimes it's, you know, if you're in that position, I was talking to a buddy of mine who, he used to get recognized like all the time, and then his kind of thing started to fade a little bit. So he was complaining about when he got recognized all the time. And then as soon as that problem was solved, he's like, my career's ending, you know? So, I mean,
it's a weird thing you have. Like people forgot about me. Nobody loves me. Oh, sure. I'll take a picture.
Yeah. It's just where you're standing out there kind of looking around, you know, hoping someone notices you. So
we have fun when we go shopping. Like I'll be with my friends and whatnot, and like if I want to like see if I can get like if we're not getting seated at a table, let's say like quickly, like I'll walk in, and if I have like sunglasses on, I'll always do like a big reveal. Like I'll walk in and I'll just go up to the hostess stand and pretend I'm looking. I'll be like, "What is? Oh hey, I'm sorry. Now I'm just looking at the menu. This is the and I just wait. And if somebody wants to take a picture with me, I'll pull them in front of the host stand. I'm like, oh sorry, this is happening. I'm getting flooded. Could we please get seated? And they're like, who are you? Table for three. Just please help us.
What is kind of, I guess first I just want to talk real quick about Milwaukee. How many times have you been over to Milwaukee, and do you have any like weird audience interactions? Because I like to ask that sometimes if buddies of mine who have done Milwaukee shows, because for whatever reason, there's always seems to be something that comes out of Milwaukee that's a little goofy. Any experience with that, or Wisconsin more broadly?
Well, I will say that I did my first stand-up act ever solo in Appleton, Wisconsin. I did my first act in
Skyline?
January of, yes, did the Skyline in January of 22. It was my first ever. I was with my boy Steve Byrne, my friend, one of the comedian Jiggy, and we did the show, and I did my first solo stand-up set, and it was unbelievable. But it was Saturday night, January, Green Bay, at my Sunday night show, the Green Bay Packers had a game. There was a snowstorm. They lost. People came in and were just absolutely miserable.
That is,
and it was like the worst time to do a show. I was like this is my life now. I'm in trouble. But the crowds were great, man. It was really fun. Sold out shows, like really nice. That club's really great. And but it's just funny that my first thing is there. But I always say, like, it was the whitest crowd I've ever seen in my life, like zero diversity. And I say and I always make the joke, it's like I jumped into a bowl of milk and I was talking to marshmallows. Like that's how white the crowd was. But yeah, it was a really weird weekend. It was a very interesting weekend for me, because I was just getting to the foray of, you know, being on stage by myself in a stand-up format and all that. But it was good. I mean, and like I said, like Milwaukee is, I've been through Milwaukee a bunch. We played there at least twice with the boys, maybe even three times. And then I've been there solo once to Milwaukee. And then I've been through Appleton. And it's just always, you know, it's a good state for me. It's a good crowds all the time.
Yeah. What is what inspired sort of the transition into stand up for you?
So I had a change in situation in my personal life and I had to figure it out. So I had to take a step away and you know, things happened and I was like, okay, well, what am I going to do here? to pay the bills, you know, and I also, you know, live to make people laugh. Comedy is my a love of mine. I was like, what could I do? So I had to talk with my team and they're like, well, you're a live performer. You've been performing live since 99, you know? So they're like, why don't you get up in front of the crowd and try stand up? And I was like, okay. I was like, how does that really work? And I got some stand up friends of mine, you know, just hashed out some talking. And I always, in the formats we did with the show, it was kind of like when we did the live show with the boys, which I toured, you know, 6 years, 7 years with them, and all, you know, these arenas and whatnot. It was just like, basically everybody like told a story and then you chimed in on everybody else's story and whatnot, but everybody even had a chunk. So I was like, okay, well, I have that technique down to being able to tell a story. And so my sets are really just like storytelling, because I've had such a crazy life at this point, you know, crazy 47 years. So I just dove in. I was like, okay, what stories are fun to tell? And, you know, what can I tell about my friendship with the guys that you don't see on TV? And I just had so many stories of just like our friendship and things. And then it opened up more into like when I started about, you know, parenting and my dog rescue and all this stuff. So the show quickly evolved from this Skyline comedy club show. Within 3 months, I was doing theaters because I had this bigger show and so many people wanted to come out and see me. So it was just like, I evolved and I was like, all right, I got to put together a good hour here. And I'm pretty happy with the hour that I got with the product. It wasn't just like, I'm like, oh, all right, I got to go out here to pay the bills. But then I was like, oh, I'm actually enjoying this. This is fun. People are liking the show. So I naturally started a new path of, oh, okay, this is another way I can entertain besides TV, movie, or live performance with a group. Let's try a stand up. And I've really, really enjoyed it. So that's basically the roadmap to it.
And from a guy with you with an improv background, like your career based a lot off of improv, like what kind of elements with stand up does improv sort of add a new dynamic to, and what is it kind of not helpful in some other ways?
Yeah, in the beginning, it was helpful because I'm not afraid to try stuff on stage as I'm building my hour, right? So if like I felt like something hit, or I felt something with a joke and I just went with it, I was like, you know what, this might be funny, let me try to talk about this. And I would just evolve the story, and then when I would see what hits, I would go, you know. But the biggest thing for me is when I got to a theater stage, like I'm very physical, like I'm a physical comedian. I like to be able to move around, and it's like a stage is more comfortable for me because I have more room. Like in these comedy clubs, I was like a little, people are right on you, like I'm kind of like, it was kind of harder for me to develop. So I think I really like, with the room, I kind of, you know, of a bigger stage, I think I actually got better and, blossomed, if you will, because I was like, I'm like a panther out there. I don't stop moving. You know, I'm just rolling around, like, you know, and I like to, you know, see that kind of stuff. So it was interesting for me. I think the improv in the beginning gave me the confidence just to be like, I'm going to try to talk about this, or I see this guy, let me do some crowd work with that and whatnot. Cause we did crowd work in the live shows too. But the big thing with the live shows with the guys was, it was, you know, four people. You only have to be 25% of the funny. If you try something that doesn't work, somebody's got your back, you know? So it was like barely failed, you know, with when you're up there with your best friends that you know are funny and you know you're funny together. So that was a little bit of the transition. I would say the thing that hurt me the most was I'm not good at memorizing, you know, I'm not good at like repetition of it. So in the beginning, like when I knew I was telling my stories, they were a little static. Cause I'm trying to remember and not really performing it, if that makes sense, you know?
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. So that was, and then I was like, you know what, let me just embrace it and just talk about it. Remember what I want to hit, do it a little free form. And then it just flowed. So I think I had to get over that hump naturally.
Yeah. I mean, did you do a thing where like, you know, sort of your punchline, the thing you're landing on, and then just saying that a bunch to get it on the tongue, get that muscle memory. And then
the flip of that too, is like, if I said something that I thought was funny and I was like, I probably have something funnier here, I'm not going to say that punchline. Let me say something else. And I won't think about it till I get on stage. And that's how I found a lot of my stuff. And I was like, that's the one. And then I'd remember it. And then I would incorporate that punchline. Like a lot of my punchlines, you know, changed within months of, you know, because some was funny, but some was funnier. So.
And is this because since you do have that sort of improv deal, I mean, you probably do stuff on stage that is hilarious and you forget about. Do you record your sets and look back at them?
I do record my sets. I used to listen to them a lot before, but now I perform so often that it's kind of like, you know, muscle memory, and I'll have the set down. And then I don't really want to force it, because a lot of things that are funny in the moment are because of that moment. You know, so like if something happens, I'll just do that. But there is some stuff that has just been fun and I love to incorporate and move around, you know, with stuff, because I know I like to talk to the crowd too. That's a big thing. You know, that's why I'm out here. I'm out here with my fans having a good time. I want to make sure people are having a good time. And, you know, if I feel like jumping off the stage and going to talk to somebody, I'm going to do it. You know, I've done that a bunch where I just jump down and go. But I do this thing where I had every show, which is fun. I put a cookie in my back pocket. I did this randomly. I was on side stage and there was a plate of cookies and I just put one in my back pocket. And I went out and I was just looked around the crowd. And I looked at somebody who wasn't really, you know, there was kind of the plus one, like was kind of in it. There was this guy, this bigger guy, and he just had his, like his arm crossed and he was looking and his lady he was with was like all smiles. And I was like, oh, sir, did you not want to come here tonight? And he's like, no, I didn't. He's like, I was like, do you know who I am? What were you expecting? And I named whatever the set was, who was coming next. I think it was like the Phantom of the Opera was playing there. So I was like, did you think I was the Phantom? And so everybody left, whatever. And I said, come here, it'll be all right. And I jumped down, I took the cookie out of my pocket and I said, take this, it's on me. And he lost it. Everybody laughed. And I was like, this is funny. So now every time I go out, I have a cookie in my pocket. And I do that bit where I find somebody. But that just came from a moment of a plate of cookies before they announced me on the side of the stage. And I was like, this could be fun, you know?
Yeah. And now it's kind of like that thing that can always rescue you if a show or if something's not going great or whatever.
Yeah, and it's a fun way to start too. Like it's a fun way to start. It's like, you know, this guy's an idiot. Let's get out there, laugh, have a good time, you know. So
right. Yeah. What's kind of been one of your favorite topics to sort of mine for your stand-up? You got your family, you got the work you do with dogs. You mentioned both of those. You got, you know, stories from the road. Is it been that kind of stuff or has it been like sort of moments of just observational things in your life currently?
I don't have much observation stuff. It's really story based, and there is observation stuff mixed in. Like I talk about when I was younger, I wasn't really an athlete. Then I talk about my perspective on sports, you know, a little bit and go weaving in, but it's all kind of combined. But I think the main thread of it all is basically just getting to know about me, you know? So I talk about everything about, you know, I start with my friendship with the guys and then into parenthood and then growing up with a crazy Italian mother is a huge thing. My mother was a huge influence. She has millions of stories. You know, I had a crazy Sicilian mother who was, I was her baby boy and would do anything to protect me. So I have so many stories about me as a geeky child and her coming to my rescue, you know, things like that. And then of course, just like I've had a very lucky, fortunate life where I've just been in situations where meeting people and stuff like meeting celebrities and just being in places that I've just made these crazy, you know, events. So I like to shed light into that too.
Right. And for those who don't know, where did you grow up and what was kind of your childhood like in your upbringing?
So I grew up in Staten Island, New York. I went to an all boy Catholic high school. That's where I met the guys. Called Monsignor nice. Farrell.
Me too.
Yeah. And in high school, I was a mathlete and a bowler. Go Strike Force, my peeps. And, you know, so I was crushing it. So cool like, cat. I was kind of geeky. Yeah, I was kind of geeky. And then I met the guys, started having fun with humor. I used humor to help me against bullying and stuff. And it kind of worked in my favor. And then we started doing improv in high school together. And I found my love for making people laugh probably junior year, senior year of high school. Took that into college where I went to college out on Long Island and at LIU post. And then when I went to college, it was like kind of help with the social skills, you know, the people skills. I think that was the biggest part of it because school came pretty easy to me. I was pretty smart, you know, so like I didn't have to put a lot there, but my social skills were not great. So I was like really put the time in to be in uncomfortable situations and force myself to come out of my shell a little bit. And I think that really helped. So, but yeah, so growing up in Staten Island was a thing.
Yeah. I mean, were you kind of bullied into comedy?
I wouldn't say I was bullied into comedy because I'll say my house was filled with laughter. My parents were a big influence on me because they both loved to laugh. We all laughed as a family. My mother was, you know, I'm a mix of my mother and my father. I think my father was like the silent assassin. He was a 6'3" big dude who could say something just like one liner is just loud enough that you heard it. And when you were laughing, people would look at you and be like, I don't know why he's laughing, like that kind of guy. And my mother was like a tornado, like star of the show, took over a room when she came in, didn't even try to, just people gravitated towards her. She had that kind of personality, you know? So I think I'm a kind of a mix of those two.
Got it. And then, so you got sort of that internal comedy mechanics just naturally through how you grew up.
I enjoyed laughing. Like I came from a loving, fun house, you know? I was fortunate enough to have that kind of, you know, growing up. And we had like fun and I was like, you know, life could be fun. You know, you could do this. And then when I was faced with, you know, a little bit of bullying in school, I was like, well, let me just, you know, be myself and try to make them laugh a little bit. And I remember, you know, I was in a situation where one of the football players was like, you know, they were always just like, they were the cool kids, you know, with the all boy, so much testosterone in that room, you know, all boy Catholic high school. There's some boys that were bigger, some that weren't. I was like 104 pounds, you know, senior year. So like I would walk through the halls and it was just one big guy. And I would just, one day I just like knocked the books out of his hand. And I said, pick him up. And he goes, I'm sorry, Mr. Gatto. And he just jumped in on the joke and it was funny. And it did this like reverse thing where like, I made him give me piggyback rides to school, to class. Like it was like really funny. Like we had just had fun and it just really changed the dynamic in the school. I think where people were just like, there really wasn't really a bullying kind of thing. Like people would just be like, we're all friends here kind of thing. And I was really happy about that. And I just, you know, used humor and I was like, okay. And then the improv started and I got better at it because the improv class was like funny and you worked on being funny and things to say and really learned the trade. So I think it all helped.
Yeah. Yeah. And with improv, did you come up with the short form style, the long form style? What was sort of like the first class you took the first?
Yeah, we did short form. It was all like gamey stuff in high school. And then we tried a long form kind of thing. But then when I performed with the guys, when we formed our comedy troupe in 99, we did a thing called the Armando, which is a long form kind of format. That's what we performed live in our shows. We also played some games and stuff, but then we did that Armando thing, which was fun.
Yeah, is that similar to like a Herald type deal?
Or yeah, it's a looser concept. Yeah, it's a looser. Herald's like more of a structure, and the Armando's a little bit more loose, where you don't necessarily have to tie everything back up together. You just, it's a little less rules, if you will, but it's fun.
And how long did you guys like have to do this in order to like, you know, build confidence and know like you had it? Was there a moment or something where you're like, okay, we got this? Or was it always like ups and downs?
We were so critical of ourselves. We practiced in my mom's basement for 6 months and videotaped ourselves on a tripod. And we used to watch back the tapes. We met 3 times a week for nobody before we even took our first stage. And the first stage we did was a 50-person theater in Manhattan that we basically invited our friends and family to the show. So there was no risk. It was just like our friends and family in a room who already thought we were funny. Yeah, I mean, we took a while before we started.
I don't think I've ever heard of an improv group doing that, though. You know, like,
yeah, I mean,
usually it's jumping into the wild and just letting it happen, you know, and sometimes that shows on stage. But
yeah, I think it's everybody's process, too. I think everybody's process, like Sal is very meticulous with and a very much a fan of comedy, a professional when it comes to comedy. Like he is just a guy that likes to know all the boxes are checked before he gets out there and crushes it. So I think that was part of it, too. It was like, you know, we have very different mindsets when it comes to stuff. We laugh all the time, me and Sal, because he's probably the most indecisive person I know. One of the most indecisive people I know when it comes to certain things. And indecisive is the wrong word. Analytical is better. He's very analytical when it comes to things before he makes a decision. And I am very much like, oh, this is the answer. And like as a group, you know, there's 4 of us. So we'd have to like make these decisions as a group. And I would like be like, I get the information. I'm like, yeah, this is what we'll do. And then Sal would be like, well, wait, can we talk? And we would talk for hours and whatnot. And then he would be like, yeah, that's right. Let's do that. And I'm like, dude, can you just stop listening to me? Like, we laugh about all the time. But everybody has their own process, you know? So I think that was part of it. Because you got to get there on your own, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, and did you like transfer that aspect when you went to do stand up? Like, did you watch a tape back ever? Did you film that? Or was that more his process and the group kind of adopted it?
Yeah, that was his process. Mine was, I just got it. I was like, all right, I'm getting on stage. Let's do it. So I got out there and I did it and it went really well, actually. So that helped. I guess if it didn't go well, I would have been like, oh, I should take this. But it went really well. So I think from it, I was more like, what am I going to talk about? What's funny? And when I was writing what I'm going to talk about, I would be more like, that's not right. I'd be very hard on it. And then I would, you know, say it to my friends that I was doing stand-up with. And I'd be like, what do you think about it? They're like, that's funny. I'm like, I don't think it is. And I'm like, just try it. And then I would try it. And I'd be like, okay, it's funny, but this other story I have is funnier. And then I would just like, what took the hardest part was like building the hour of like, okay, what's the funniest stuff to say together? And I got there. No, but that was the biggest part of my process was what do I think is the funniest the stuff that I could put out there for the time? Because people don't know what they're coming to get when they see me, right? They used to see me on TV in a hidden camera comedy show. They don't necessarily think I'm funny in this arena, right? You know, so when people, I get all the time after, it's so funny. It's like the two backhanded compliments I get all the time is, oh, wow, you're really funny. And then, oh, you're not as fat as you look on TV. And I'm like, thank you. You know what I mean? So it's like so weird. But that was part of it for me.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. New Englanders are prepping for post-tropical cyclone Lee.
It's the saying that I always say, if you don't do anything, it's going to be bad. If you spend half the day hauling traps, bringing traps in, prepping your boat, it's going to be minimal, and that's what happened.
It's the first time the United Auto Workers Union is striking against the three big automakers at the same time. Union President Sean Fain.
Our members made all the sacrifices in the economic recession. Like always, we pay the price. They've had a decade of excessive profits, $250 billion in profits, and our members have fallen further and further behind.
Special counsel Jack Smith's asking the judge to put limits on what former President Trump can say about his election interference case.
The concern is that the judge doesn't want the case to be tried in the press. So what they do is they issue that gag order in order to protect the judicial integrity.
That's Attorney Joseph Tully, CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National
Welcome
Highway
to Carroll
Traffic
University Football on the Shaw. Coming off back-to-back winning seasons, the Pioneers are excited to move the program forward in this 2023 season.
Pioneer Football is proudly brought to you by Spiritus Writing, using the power of words to change the world. Waukesha Civic Theater. Catch the production of 12 Angry Men, September 15th through October 1st. And by WAUK Radio 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and Civic Media.
Now, let's join Don Brown and Johnny Watermullen on the field for all the action.
Let's go!
Welcome to Carroll Football. Here are your hosts, Don and Johnny.
Thank you, Anya. We welcome you to the north side of Chicago, the Albany Park neighborhood, where your Pioneers of Carroll University will do battle against fellow undefeated North Park University Vikings. North Park fresh off a win 2 weeks ago against non-conference Manchester in Indiana. They had a bye last week, the same week that our beloved Pioneers put a hurting on the, I think that was another Viking team from Wisconsin Lutheran, Warriors from Wisconsin Lutheran University. And I'm joined by my trusty colleague and confidant, Johnny Watermelon. Johnny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Don. How are you, man?
Johnny's seated right now, nursing a bum ankle, but I think he wants to get in the game still. He's been talking to Coach Buddha. He's got 3 years of eligibility.
I might have to get taped up and go in.
We'll see. We'll see. But certainly not lacking for players. Great depth on this Carroll University team. And, again, playing a home team. I believe it's their first game of the season and very excited. 1-0. And got a little bit of a scouting report on the Vikings we can tell you a little bit about. And, Johnny, you can help me out if I miss anything. But defense is the strong point. Defensive end Jonathan Thomas and Dylan Hughes, who's a defensive tackle. Both those guys are monsters on the line. They've had quite a few tackles already in this early season. Linebacker Juan Nieves is a great all-purpose player who also returns punts. And the captain, linebacker Jaden Miller, was all CCIW last year. And they've also got a great cornerback in Jason Atkinson, no relation to Raiders legend George Atkinson. And so on offense, the guy to look out for is A.J. Harris, an all-CCIW receiver in 2021. And I think he also does some plays from the backfield. So, really a lot to look forward here. Again, this is the Pio's first taste of conference competition here, and it's their first road game. And, Johnny, what are your takes?
Well, I'm really looking forward to this contest. I mean, they're both coming off of wins, so they're excited. They got positive attitudes. I'm always a guy that kind of looks at the front line, see what's going on down in the trenches. I got to tell you, they line up pretty good. There's some big guys on the other side, and you know that always means pushing that line around. Usually gives the quarterback a little advantage and opens a lot of options up, Don.
And, Johnny, as you and I recall last week against the Pioneers, we called a lot of different names on both sides of the ball. So offensively, they distribute the ball well. Four or five players accounted for touchdowns. Nick Legnioli had 97 yards on, I believe it was like 11 carries, and two touchdowns, as I mentioned. Both tight ends. Reed Breckheimer and Trevor Hancock each scored touchdowns. And I believe Austin Eichstadt, one of the star receivers, also had a touchdown. And, of course, Josh Hill was open quite a bit. And Santiago Rios, who comes off the bench, a lot of great productivity. So a lot of great weapons for the Pio's offense. And then on defense, again, great distribution of talent throughout, very strong line with Helios Martinez, Nick Montes, Tim Nelson, and Steve Lazarus. Great linebacking crew with Will Campbell, only a sophomore. He made his presence known last week. And then his counterpart, Damon Loker, the junior, who led the team in tackles last year. So just a great listing of names here. Elliot Miller, cornerbacks, and Elliot Miller and Ja'Kai Bohannon. Jake Binkowski had a big game last week. And then the Drake Emmanuel, strong safety. Johnny, you'll notice I forgot to mention one person on the offense. Can you tell me who that was?
Well, you're probably talking about my buddy, the Axeman.
The Axeman cometh.
Josh Raby.
The rabid one.
I'll tell you what, man, I give him the handle, the Axeman, because he really does split the defense, Don, and then he stacks up those 6 points like cordwood, just like a good pioneer.
You're going to hear that from Johnny. And, while we have a moment to you, you may have had some problems catching the broadcast last week, and we do express our apologies. There were some issues with our whole corporate network. We're going through some major upgrades, and football games on other networks, including the Badgers, were also disrupted. So, again, our apologies to Carroll Nation. But so far we're sounding good here on the road. We're actually outside. The press box is pretty tight on the inside, so we're like redheaded stepchildren here, Johnny.
We got a little different deal going on here.
We do have a great view of the field from the 40-yard line. It's a multi-purpose field. In addition to football, it's home to Carroll softball and baseball. So it's kind of like I was comparing it to Old Municipal Stadium, where the Cleveland erstwhile Indians and the Browns used to play, or Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, where both the Colts and the Orioles played.
How
and
old are
Ravens
you, Don?
For a while. So, Johnny, I was born in the summer of love, and some would tell you I'm as old as Summerfest.
Oh, my gosh.
So not a bad way to be. I'm as old as the Sgt. Pepper album, for sure.
Right. Okay.
So, but I understand I'm a big. I'm still got a few years behind you there, Johnny. So I know you got the lead there
I got
calendars.
A little bit on you though.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But hey, I wanted to circle back and talk a little bit about the wide receiver core there, and when those offensive line guys do their job, that opens those guys up, and they're back again from a great season last year. So these seniors, Austin Eckstead, Josh Hill, and J.R. Muth, these three guys are really going to cause some damage when the offensive line starts doing their thing. So
sure
keep
will.
An eye out yep. for him, man. And especially Austin Eckstead. Yeah. You know, he's on a couple of NFL watch lists.
Yep.
So he's going to light it up. If he gets some room, he's going to take off and do
some
damage.
He sure will. And, you know, in addition to being a great passer, Josh Raby can run the ball very well. But last week only had to run twice for 7 yards. So a real compliment to the running game as we see Nick Lagnioli's father, Brad, is down below us, walking by, getting ready to take his seat. So, hey, Brad. We're talking about you on the radio. So big smile from Brad. All good, all good.
Yeah, we got quite a few. The piles are traveling well today. So
they do travel well. A lot of parents were. We walked by a tailgate. And we wanted to stop by, but we had to step. We had to step up our game here with getting our technology set up outside. It is cloudy. There's been a few raindrops, but no rain yet. And we're hopeful that we are very hopeful that there will not be any major downpour, so we can protect our technology. Our radio box in a box. So we're all good. You'll hear a lot of urbanities here, sirens coming by from time to time. We're right underneath the speaker, so you'll hear the PA loud and clear, in addition to some of the contemporary music we have playing. So
that's the beauty of being outside on the corner of the press box, Don.
It sure is. It sure is. So, but, yep. But I want to thank the staff here at North Park for their hospitality, and Dylan, their their athletic communications director. He would be Mike Westemeyer's counterpart. So, and of course, special thanks to our team at Carroll, athletic director Mike Shulist. Haven't seen Mike here yet, but I imagine he'll make his presence known. And of course, we see Coach Buda huddling with his staff, just the coaching staff. I think the players went back into the locker room, if there is one. So we shall see. But again, this is a really nice neighborhood here on the north side of Chicago. A lot of parks. A lot of beautiful brownstones, really cozy university community, a private university in the Swedish Covenant Church tradition. So, and it's neat they have all the CCIW banners hanging on the back of the bleacher. So we see our proud Pio's banner with Pio Pete affectionately displayed, or shall I say prominently displayed. So, but hey, we got about 20 minutes before the kickoff, so we're going to take a break here now. On the Pioneer Football Radio Network here on, what's the station, Johnny?
WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM.
The Shaw. Anya, take it away.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're Did going you know to be that? The lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Thank you, Anya. Welcome back to Pioneer Football live at North Park University in Chicago with Johnny Watermelon and Don Brown.
Thanks, Johnny. And so our colleague Jimmy Casca doesn't get upset. He covers UPlatteville football. We are talking the Carroll University Pioneers. Platteville has the same nickname, but we are the Pioneer University of Wisconsin, Wisconsin's oldest university, that is. And very proud to be part of the university city that is Waukesha, and proud to represent here on Chicago's north side. So as the PA welcomes everybody coming in, the stands are starting to fill in. They're actually announcing the starting lineups, and Johnny, let's do the same. You want to announce the offense for Carroll?
Okay, Don, let's take a look here. Offense for Carroll, QB is Matt Eck.
No. You have the wrong team there, buddy.
Oh, sir.
Outside linebacker,
number 43,
Travis. Turn it around, kid.
Oh, I'm sorry here. I had the other.
No worries, Johnny. No worries.
Man alive. Okay.
Left tackle,
number 77, Nate Johnson. 6'5", 280 sophomore from Menasha. It's my old stomping grounds. I got some great football players up that way.
They sure do.
And left guard, number 64, Lewis Corey. 6'0", 315 sophomore from Desplaines.
Desplaines.
I call it Desplaines.
Think of Fantasy Island. Desplaines. Yes. Desplaines.
Yes, yes, boss, boss.
All right, right.
Okay. Center, 78, Max Castanos. 6'1", 280.
From Cary, Illinois.
From Cary, Illinois. And right guard, 73, Trevor Pye. He's a 6'1", 295 junior from Waterford, Wisconsin. Right tackle, Kevin Whitman, 6'2", 290 junior from Chicago, out of South Shore. Tight end, Reed Breckmeyer. And he's a 250
Reed
sophomore.
Breckheimer.
Breckheimer.
One of the stars.
I'm kind
of
butchering
offense.
The names here a
yes,
little bit.
You
sorry,
are.
That's because I'm a little dyslexic. And that's the fun about hanging out with me.
Sure.
So, and then we've got Austin Eckstead from, he's a 6'4 guy, 215 senior from Cudahy. We talked about him a little bit earlier. Josh Hill, number 98, 6'1, 195 senior.
From Algonquin, Illinois.
Algonquin, Illinois. Wide receiver number 8, J.R. Muth, 5'10", 185 senior from Greendale. And my guy, quarterback number 9, Josh Raby, the Axeman, 6'7", 215 senior.
From Algonquin.
From Algonquin. Thanks, Don.
Yep.
You're helping. If I say it enough times, I'll probably get it. And running back, Crazy Legs, Nick Leglione.
Legs.
180 junior from Richmond, Illinois.
From the borderland.
So that kind of gives you a wrap up on the
Sounds
offense.
Good. I'll give you the defense here, Johnny. Defensive end is a 6-foot senior from Carpentersville, Illinois at 230, Elios Martinez. Defensive tackles number 97, Nick Montes, the 6'3", 275-pound senior from just up the road here in Northbrook, Illinois, went to Glenbrook North High School. Defensive tackle number 93, Tim Nelson, the 5'10", 260-pound junior from Racine, went to Racine Lutheran High School. And the other defensive end, Steven Lazarus, a 6'1", 235-pound junior from Colgate, went to Hartford High School. And in the linebacking crew, from Johnny's neck of the woods, John Anderson Award winner, Will Campbell, number 42, the 6-foot, 230-pound sophomore from?
Kakana. That one I got.
And the other linebacker, led the team in tackles last year, the 5'10", 250-pound junior from Kimberly. Great football tradition there, Damon Loker, and carrying that Kimberly pride here to the Pio tradition. The other outside linebacker, Travis Runberg, number 43, 6-foot, 185-pound junior from Cumberland, Wisconsin. Cornerback, 5'11", 175-pound junior, Elliot Miller from Pewaukee, was a Pirate in high school. The other corner is number 3, Jake Bohannon, the 5'10", 160-pound junior from Milwaukee, went to Tosa West. And then our safety, strong safety, is the Drake, number 9, Drake Emmanuel, 5'10", 180-pound sophomore from Rockton, Illinois. And the other sophomore, the free safety, Jake Binkowski, working on a pick 6 record. 6'2", 190-pound junior from Pulaski, again, up in Johnny's neck in the woods. So, and there's the second stringers on both lines. You're going to hear their names called a lot tonight. So as time allows, we'll be sure to try to introduce them. So, and something going on with the referees here. I kind of missed out on that as Johnny and I were giving out the lineups here for the Pios. So, but looks like it's about a little less than 13 minutes before kickoff. Yep, our clock confirms that. And I don't know what we're doing here, Johnny, but, you know, I'm thinking, hey, Anya, if it's not too early, can we do station identification now here on the Pioneer Football Radio Network?
Yep, we'll go to that right now.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Listening audience to Civic Media's live coverage of Pioneer football at North Park University in Chicago. I'm Johnny Watermelon with Don Brown, bringing you the live coverage today. It's a beautiful day here in Chicago. We're getting ready for a great contest.
Good luck, Coach.
Got a few more minutes to go here, and we're going to start seeing the players come out. What do you think, Don, about last week's contest in that Glazer Bowl?
Well, it was everything you'd want in a home opener. Pioneer scored right away.
The Warriors made it interesting, and they scored in their first drive in like five plays, marching down the field. A 45-yard pass play, I think, set up the touchdown. Or I think that might have been the touchdown, and we thought we were going to have a humdinger, but Carroll's offense answered back with another touchdown and then a touchdown after that, and then really never looked back. There were a couple of close calls. Some poor clock management by Wisconsin Lutheran there towards the end of the half blew a golden opportunity. I think instead of going for six, they went for a field goal, and it got blocked. And so, yeah, it really wasn't much of a game after that. It was all Pioneers offense, and you got to see some great football. And you got to see a lot of play from their third stringers, too. So it was great great to see the Pioneers going deep into the bench this early in the season, because you know what? You might need these guys in what is arguably the nation's most competitive Division III conference, the CCIW. So, again, just a lot of positives. The only negative was our radio broadcast and some of the technical issues we had. But really grateful for the support we have from the university and also from our leaders at Civic Media and our great production team. And they're making a lot of great upgrades. You should really come see the studio there at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, also known as the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. It really is a great setup, a lot of new technology. And I had my show this morning at 8 o'clock, and you can catch the rebroadcast at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning with Josh Hughes. If you're looking for something fun to do in the Halloween season, check out Waukesha Ghost Walk Tours. You can look it up on Google and tell Josh Hughes we sent you. And in addition, we want to welcome those that were checking out the Cripes cast with our friend Charlie Behrens. You can catch the rebroadcast of that show same time tomorrow at noon. So I forget what time the Packers are playing, but just, you know, TiVo the Packers will record that and check out Charlie Behrens, or put the Packers on mute while you enjoy our good friend Charlie. Sound like a plan, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen, Don.
Hey, man, nothing like a little Charlie on a Sunday.
Right.
He's a lot of fun.
He is kind of goofy.
We got to make him the third chair, one of our Pio broadcasts.
Wouldn't that be fun if he
that
came in
and did
that?
That would be a total riot, yep.
Yeah.
So,
What high school did he go to? Or do you know?
I want to say he's from Sheboygan, isn't he?
I thought he was a Manitowoc guy.
Nope.
Started doing the Manitowoc Minute.
That would be fun. Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, it was Manny. Manny Towa. Okay. Yeah, Manny Petty.
So last week at the Glazer Bowl, you saw the Pios kind of easily handling their opponent.
They sure did.
I think you're going to see more of the same today from my perspective. I think they're going to manhandle these guys once they get settled in.
I hope and I pray.
I know Coach Buddha likes to establish the run.
Yeah.
And he's going to do that. And
why
once
not?
That opens up, that's going to get some other options going. And I think you're going to see this wide receiver core and my buddy, the X-Man, Josh Raby, start lighting it up.
Johnny, we've been putting a lot of spotlight on Nick Lagnoli for good reason, but Nick has another counterpart in the backfield that switches in named Mikey Coleman. And Mikey also did a great job taking on the running duties. And you may see some more running backs in the rotation. There's a lot of great running backs. They're pretty deep here. So Coach Buddha may decide to go deeper and give our guys some more touches. But Mikey Coleman, only a sophomore, 5'11", 210, also from here in Illinois, from Bloomington. And, you know, another observation, Johnny, was you look at our roster and you look at North Parks, and if you remember Wisconsin Lutheran, yeah, a lot of kids from out of state playing football here, not just from the Midwest, but you look at North Park and they got kids from Georgia, Arizona, Texas. Wisconsin Lutheran had a lot of kids from Texas, and it's really a testament to the great colleges we have. You think of all the great colleges and all the great football programs around the country, and these talented kids come all the way up here braving the cold and snow to do what they love and get a good education. And so it's a nice compliment to the CCIW and the great collection of colleges represented within. And that, of course, includes our beloved Pioneers. So Pioneers, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, they are in their visiting uniforms, the orange pants, white jersey with orange fonts and navy trim, navy stripes around the shoulder, and Pioneers listed above the number, and then the orange helmets with Pio Pete, the logo icon. So we do have the tarp covering our remote system, a couple drops, nothing major or heavy, but we're waiting now for the, and here come the Vikings of North Park to a row of cheerleaders coming out of their blue, what do you call it, floaty, Johnny? Blow up. So they get quite a welcome here from the North Park faithful.
Little air blow up tunnel thing they have over there.
Yep, that's it. bouncy house. So the host nation Vikings in all black with a royal blue trim and the university name written upwards along the trim, the stripe, if you will. They got the royal blue numbers with gold trim. And then black helmets with the white NP logo type on the left side and on the right their jersey number. So we're going to get ready for the national anthem. So let's take a quick 30-second break on you here on the Pioneer Football Radio Network.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Play ball.
All right. We're back. Anya, we're back.
Yep, you're back. Yep.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Thank you. I just, the music's still playing. That's why I'm.
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, hey, welcome back to North Park University. A rousing rendition of our national anthem by North Park student Savannah Crawley. And Johnny, I think she was trying to rival Jose Feliciano at the 68 World Series in terms of the length. She really stretched that out. So
yeah, that was it.
The captains come to meet at half field. 97, we got Nick Montes. We've got Helios Martinez. Other captains include Josh Hill. And I'm trying to get the fourth captain in there. That might be Will Campbell. If I can get the numbers. They're doing the coin toss, which will then determine 2 minutes for kickoff, so we're going to see where who gets it. We'll know momentarily. This is quite the coin toss meeting, Johnny.
Yeah, there's a lot going on out there. They're giving instructions.
Yeah, like they're going to do a toast or something. Well, we'll now hear the announcement here. That's Damon Lokers, the other captain. So North Park has won the toss, and they will defer to the second half. So our Pioneers will start out on offense, led by Johnny's buddy, the Axeman, Josh Raby. So looks like the what little raindrops we have subsided. So other than the threat of rain, it really is ideal football weather, Johnny.
Yeah, it's perfect.
No sun, which I know the quarterbacks and the receivers and corners like. Great job. So I had a chance to congratulate Savannah Crowley on her national anthem as she comes up to the booth. And this is going to be fun, Johnny. So the Vikings are the first out on the field.